everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can be a part of it. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, I am Bob Christopher, along with Richard Piper today,
hello,
and we
everyone.
Invite you to be a part of Basic Gospel at 844-322-2742. Yesterday, we had a full bank of calls and couldn't get to all of them, so
yeah.
We invite you to call early if you have a question or a problem situation that you would like to discuss. We would love to hear from you. Again, the number 844-322-2742. It's Easter week. We're celebrating the death, the burial, and resurrection
yes.
of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that the Good News story starts with death.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who would have ever thought to start Good News with the death of someone?
Wow.
And yet that's where it begins, because that death took away our sins once and for all so that we could be made alive together with Christ Jesus. That's the benefit to us. That's why it's good news to each and every one of us who receive Christ Jesus. Now, this week we're looking at some of the key events leading up to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And today we want to take a look at Mark chapter 14. And this is a look of Jesus standing before the Sanhedrin, standing before the high priest. And they're just looking for something to accuse and to judge Jesus on. So the high priest is standing before Jesus, and he says this, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" So it's a very direct question. Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that we've been looking for all this time? Are you the Son of the Blessed, the Son of the Most High? And Jesus said, "I am." I love this
yes.
answer, because it's the same answer that God gave to Moses when Moses said, "Who should I tell the people has sent me?" And God said, "I am has sent you to them." So what's the name of God? I am. So Jesus here in a very subtle way is saying, I am. The same God of the Old Testament, the same God that sent Moses, is standing right in front of you. And he goes on to say, "And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." This is a reference to the book of Daniel. And this is a direct statement concerning Jesus' deity. I mean, he is standing there and saying with his own mouth, "I am God." And when the high priest heard this and the Sanhedrin heard it, it says this, "And the high priest tore his garments and said, 'What further witnesses do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?' And they all condemned him as deserving death." So why was Jesus crucified? Why was he handed over to Pilate to be crucified? Well, it's because he, a mere man, according to the high priest, according to the Sanhedrin, he, a mere man, was claiming to be God.
Yeah.
And that was blasphemy. That was deserving of death. In the Old Testament, it said anyone that blasphemed the name of the Lord would be stoned to death by the entire community. Well, under Roman rule, they couldn't carry out that. So they handed Jesus over to Pilate, and they worked their magic on him so that he would do what they wanted him to do. And so he handed Jesus over to be crucified. Why? Because he claimed to be God. Why? Because that's exactly who he was and who he is today.
Yeah, the Pharisees, the priests here, all of these people gathered together were exactly right if he wasn't who he claimed to be. They understood what he said. Tragically, they were 100% wrong.
Yes,
and
they were.
That is one of the things all of us must be careful with. We get onto these belief systems of ours, and it can be anything. And we start making pronouncements and, you know, basically crucifying anybody we disagree with, and sometimes we're wrong. And
right.
the humility here of Jesus, one, to tell the truth. He knew who he was. He was comfortable with that. And two, to put up with their ignorance. And yet he did that, and we're the beneficiaries of
yes,
it.
Yes,
amazing.
Yes, we are. So that question that he asked of his disciples, who do you say that I am, it's the most compelling question that's ever been asked.
Yeah.
And Jesus gives the answer, and that's the answer that we give in confessing him as Lord, believing in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, and when all that happens, we're saved. We're included in this great gospel story that was lived out 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, which is lived out in us today by the same Jesus who lives inside of us.
Yeah.
Well, that's the good news. This is Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 is the number. If you have a question that you would like to ask on today's broadcast, we would love to hear from you right now. And let's go to our phone lines and talk with David, listening to us on The Word right here in Dallas, Texas. Hi, David. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, I have some questions about backsliding. I know, or at least I feel like I've been saved, and I've been a Christian for years, but I've also backslid, and I've done it more than once. There's been more than once in my life where I've kind of walked away, stopped going to church, stopped praying, stopped reading my Bible, you know, and I lived in sin there for a while. And over the last year or so, I've kind of rededicated my life to God and been going to church and been active in the church and reading and praying and everything, but I still struggle a lot with sin. And I guess I'm just wondering about salvation in light of backsliding and what the Bible says about that.
Well, David, I did exactly what you're talking about during my college years. I had received Christ at a youth camp when I was 13 years of age. And boy, I knew I needed Jesus, and I received him. I knew that he died for my sins. I knew that I needed Jesus. And so I prayed at that camp, Lord, I need you, and I receive you, and I want you to come and live inside of me. Now, from that point forward, I didn't really understand what that meant, what that fully meant, what had fully happened to me. And so I tried to live the Christian life through self-effort. I tried to be God's guy on my own. And so I've tried to figure out what that would look like. And I would read my Bible and say, hey, I'm going to read the Bible in a year. And, you know, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to do all of these things so that I could be your guy. And my self-effort wasn't strong enough to overcome the temptations in my life. So I constantly gave in to those temptations. And every time I did, I felt guilty. I felt ashamed. I felt dirty on the inside. And I felt like maybe my salvation didn't take. Maybe God was really sick at his stomach at me. But I never lost sight of the fact that I needed Jesus. I never went out and looked for other answers. I knew Jesus was the answer. I knew the gospel was true. I just didn't know how to live out the Christian life. And finally, I gave up in frustration and said, Lord, I can't be your guy. All I know how to do is sin. And that's what I set out to do. And as you know, David, there's no happiness there. You just pile on more guilt and more shame and more fear and all of that kind of stuff. Well, I started saying, Lord, I can't go on like this anymore. I need some answers. And the answers I started getting absolutely revolutionized my relationship with the Lord. And I came to grips with the fact that Jesus Christ not only forgave all of my sins, but that he made me alive together with him, and that he had come to live inside of me. Now, that truth changed everything. when I realized that Jesus Christ came to live inside of me and that he was always with me, that started to push out that fear, to lift that guilt off of my shoulders, and help me realize that I was always in God's favor. I was always within the grace of God, not because of anything that I had done or hadn't done, but because of what Christ had accomplished for me. The fact that he forgave every single one of my sins. David, those sins that you're dealing with, those things that you're struggling with, Jesus has already dealt with it, hasn't he? He bled and died 2,000 years ago, and his blood took away your sins forever in such a way that God remembers your sins no more. And that's just truth that blows your mind away, that just boggles the mind. And so you have to look at it and say, Lord, what have you done? And that's when this assurance of salvation starts to really come into that soul of yours. David, you're saved, right? You know that Christ has come to live inside of you.
I believe I'm saved. I mean, especially just because, like I said, I mean, God speaks to me. I mean, he spoke to me yesterday. And I guess what got me questioning was this pastor was talking about people sinning and was saying basically if you live for yourself, which when you sin, that's effectively what you're doing is you're doing what you want to do. You know, in that moment, you're living for yourself. That don't fool yourself into thinking that you're saved. And it's like, you know, I can remember a time when God came into my heart, the first time I ever felt the presence of God. And I know he's spoken to me several times over the years, but I can't seem to stop sinning. And I know you'll never completely stop sinning, but it's just such a struggle sometimes. And after hearing him say that, it just really made me wonder, you know, are you really saved?
Well, David, God is not the author of fear.
No.
And if you're responding to a message in fear, it's probably not the right message. So in the Bible, we see things like God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. So the message, the right message, the good news message is the fact that God isn't counting your sins against you. And the reason he's not counting your sins against you is because Christ has already condemned those sins and he's already done something about those sins. He's already taken the punishment, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where we have to start. That's where you begin. Are you willing to rest in Christ's finished work on your behalf? Are you willing to thank God that Jesus took away all of your sins and that he gave you forgiveness of every single one of them? Because in Christ, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You've received that gift of forgiveness. And so you rest in that, and you rest in that by thanking God for it. Then,
okay. You
understand? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's something that I've been coming to more to terms with over the last year or so, because I grew up in a church where I was taught my whole life, you know, you could lose your salvation, you could walk away from God. And I think that's why I still struggle sometimes when I sin and when I hear things like that, because it really makes me think that. But I know over the last year or so, you know, the church I actually go to is teaching something different. And I know reading in the book of Hebrews and in the book of John, I'm certainly reading things differently than what I've always been taught growing up. So,
well, you just keep letting the clear teaching of the Bible just anchor you to truth, because, you know, Jesus' salvation is Jesus coming to live inside of you. You know, God was looking for a home, and when you received Christ, God found a home in you. And he sent his spirit to take up residence. And God's spirit is never going to leave you or forsake you. So you were dead, God made you alive, and then he sent his spirit to live inside of you. That's the complete story of salvation, and God is not going to reverse that. That is a saved forever reality. So as the book of Hebrews says in Hebrews 7, I think verse 25, God saves you completely. And that's exactly what he did for you in Christ. So you're out, and that's the way I was. I wanted to stop sinning. And you're doing the same thing. You're looking at these temptations, and you're saying, how can I stop doing that? And God is saying, quit focusing on the temptations of the world. Quit focusing on sins, and start focusing on the finished work of Jesus Christ. So instead of trying to stop sin, Jesus is saying, start trusting. Start trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when you do, you're going to be expressing thanksgiving to Jesus. And what you're going to see as the result of that is that sin's power is going to lose, a little bit of its intensity as far as you're concerned. Paul put it this way, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So you're trying not to gratify the desires of the flesh through human effort, and that's tripping you up. So start walking in the Spirit, and that means resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, thanking him for the forgiveness that you have, and thanking him that he is alive living in you. Does that make sense,
Thanks,
David?
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that's exactly what I've been doing, too. I've been really struggling with a couple of really specific things. And I think it's just that I want to please God so much, that it tears me apart, but I can't seem to stop doing them.
Right.
Like you said, it's because I'm trying to stop myself,
Right, and it just doesn't work, does it? So the way to please God is by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because you're already in Christ, you are already pleasing to God. Why? Because you've trusted Jesus. And rest in that and thank God for that, okay? And here's what I want you to do. I want to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And I tell my story in there, my frustrations. I think you will identify with some of that. And I think it'll be a big encouragement to you, okay?
All right, thank you, sir.
Hey, I'll put you on hold, and Michelle will pick up with you and get your information, and we'll send you a copy of that book as quickly as we can, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thanks, David. Thanks for your call, and keep looking to Jesus. You hang on.
Thank you.
All right. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher here with Richard Pfeiffer, and we have a great resource for you, our listeners, this month. It's called Proof, the Resurrection. All the skeptics criticize Christianity because we believe that some guy 2,000 years ago was raised from the dead. And they say, how could that be? Well, it is. It's truth, and there's ample evidence supporting the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So faith, your faith is not a blind leap in the dark. It's backed by historical evidence. And we examine that, Richard and I examine that in this particular CD, and we want you to have a copy of it. So it's our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. Just go to basicgospel.net, click the donate button, and while you're there, be sure and request your copy of Proof, the Resurrection. I think it'll be a CD that will encourage you, that will really anchor your faith in the evidence of the resurrection, and it's a CD that you'll want to share with others who may have questions about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and this faith that we have in him. So be sure and request your copy of Proof, the Resurrection. Well, let's go to Atlanta, Georgia, and talk with Jesse listening to us on WDWD. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to point out real quick that guy that called, the last caller, I didn't catch the, I just came in right at the end. I didn't catch what he was saying, maybe his sin was or whatever. But I wanted to point out a couple things. The first thing, the Bible says several times that there's not a person alive that doesn't sin.
You're right.
So he's got to remember that. The second thing he's got to remember is there are so many verses in the Bible that point out so clearly, and they say explicitly that whoever believes in Jesus is preserved forever, will go to heaven, is not condemned. There's not a single verse in the Bible that ever says that a believer lost their salvation. It's not in there.
It's not. You're exactly right, Jesse. And so we're secure in Christ because of the work of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we sometimes struggle with believing that. But that doesn't change the fact that we're secure in Christ and that Christ is in us and will never leave us or forsake us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
so.
I was where that caller was a couple years ago, just worrying about it all the time. You got to realize that Jesus knew exactly who you were and what you were going to do before you ever did it.
Absolutely. Yeah,
thanks a lot. I'm going to take off.
Hey, thanks, Jesse. Thanks for your great comments. We appreciate that. We really do. This deal on security of the believer, we struggle with it because we don't understand what salvation really is.
Mm-hmm.
We think it's just a golden ticket. You know, we've just gotten our sins wiped clean. We have a clean slate, and now it's up to us to keep it clean. And we just can't do that.
No.
We have to recognize that the blood of Jesus keeps our slate clean forever. And we are always clean because of him, and we're always close because of him, and he's always close because he lives inside of us. That's what salvation
is
all
about. That's what it's all about.
Yes, indeed.
Oh.
Well, we got a great comment on one of our YouTube videos.
Yes.
It's a video that we did on tithing, and it's our most watched video,
mm-hmm.
almost 100,000 views. And over 1,000 likes, and there's a lot of dislikes, and there's some really heated comments. There's some grateful comments, and this was very interesting. We thought we'd tackle it today.
Yeah. So, since we are not under the Mosaic Law, I guess I can start telling lies, stealing, and dishonoring my parents. After all, I'm not under the law. Obviously, these men have not run a church and paid the bills there. Poor preacher working 40 hours a week waiting tables. Wonder when he has time for his family or even to study and pray so he can feed God's sheep. Unbelievable.
Yeah, so,
that's how it went.
So the comment, the subject is tithing. Are we required to give 10% of our income? And we talked very clearly that that was an Old Testament practice. That was part of the Mosaic covenant. Certainly there were examples of it that preceded the law, but it was a part of the Mosaic covenant. And today we're under the grace of giving. And it's something completely different. We're not motivated by an external law. We're motivated by the Spirit of God who lives inside of us. So if we'll just recognize that then people can be free to give as God directs them to, and they can experience joy, and people can benefit. But it's interesting, you and I have both pastored churches.
Yes.
We've been involved in raising money. We know what that's all about. And we've had the joy of seeing God provide through his people as he is motivating them to give by his grace. And that's what we love when people give, because the grace of God has moved them to do so. We experience joy. And they experience joy, and that's exactly the way God has set it up.
Total freedom.
Total freedom, indeed. And that's the result of this good news,
mm-hmm.
the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for joining us on today's broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. And we encourage you to visit us at basicgospel.net. If you would like to join the Basic Gospel financial team, hit the donate button and be sure to request your copy of Proof the Resurrection. We'll see you tomorrow.